Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to episode number 61 of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, my guest is best-selling author, global speaker, leadership expert, and executive coach, Scott Eblen. In our conversation, we talk about Scott's two best-selling books and what leaders need to do to get to the next level. Now, you want to listen all the way through to the end of this interview because I got a special offer for you. So, listen up. Thanks again for supporting the Leading While Green podcast. I want to thank E_Keys for his review. And this is what they say. The Leading While Green podcast is the only podcast that I listen to based off of the amount of real raw data, value, personality, effectiveness, and consistency. And we also got a review from Kay Asiele, E-I-S-E-L-E. They said, just found you. Started listening today with Dr. Heather Thompson Day's episode. I feel like any piece of advice she gave, and she gave a ton, was enough to need time to process. Really informative and encouraging. I'm looking forward to going back and checking out other episodes now. Kay Asiele, we want to thank you for finding us and for supporting us. And I want to thank all of you who are going to leave your 5-star review and comments on iTunes to really help us get this message of effective leadership around the world. So my guest today, Scott Eblen, is the president of the Eblen Group, a leadership development firm committed to helping executives lead at their best and live at their best. And for the past 17 years, he has worked with some of the best known companies and organizations as a leadership expert, as a best-selling author, as a global speaker, as an executive coach. He's got two best-selling books that really encapsulate his work and experience. They are The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success, and Overworked and Overwhelmed, The Mindfulness Alternative. Now, The Next Level is being released. The third edition is being released next week. And I got a special offer. If you listen to the end, you'll figure out how you can get a free copy of his book, The Next Level. Scott graduated from Davidson College, and he holds a master's degree from Harvard University and a certificate in leadership coaching from Georgetown. And we have a great conversation about life and leadership. Now, remember, you want to listen all the way to the end so you can get that special offer. Here's my conversation with Scott Eblen. With confidence. On this episode of the podcast, I have leadership expert, global speaker, and best-selling author, Scott Eblen. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Pierre. Great to be here. Thanks.
So our listeners got, before our interview, got a chance to hear your fuller bio. Give us some of the backstory before you became a global speaker, best-selling author, leadership influencer. You know, take us back maybe to some of your collegiate years, or how did you know that you wanted to go in this direction for your career?
You know, I said to somebody the other day, they asked a similar question. I think it started when I was a Cub Scout.
Okay. You know? Way back.
Yeah, way back. You want to go back that far. I mean, I grew up in a place called Huntington, West Virginia, and when I was a little kid, if you were a boy, the big thing you did was sports, and I was not a good athlete, natural athlete, and so I sort of felt like, what am I going to do instead of like Little League or whatever? And I kind of got into anything that involved leadership. My grandfather actually had been a scoutmaster, and I just idolized him. And so as soon as I was old enough, I was going to join the scouts, you know, like 6 years old or whatever I was, joined the Cub Scouts. And the thing about scouts, what's interesting about it, at least this is how it used to be, I was going through a bunch of, like my mom had saved a bunch of stuff, you know, from when I was a kid. And I was going through this box of stuff a few years ago, and I found this loose leaf binder, said Troop Leadership Development. And it was a program that I was in when I was like 14 or 15 years old. With the scouts, and I was being trained. It was like train the trainer kind of thing. I was being trained to train other scouts in leadership. And I was looking through this binder, this program that they had, and I said, oh my gosh, like everything that I'd been doing as an adult for the last 30 years is in this loose leaf binder, you know, in terms of how to lead a meeting or how to influence other people or whatever. I mean, it's like all of that stuff was in there. And I was like, wow, it just really kind of brought it home for me how long I've been paying attention to this kind of stuff. Right. And so, you know, life happens, and, you know, I was I've been coaching and doing the leadership development consulting work and the speaking and the writing and all that for about 18 years. And 15 years before that, I was a corporate person mainly. Spent a couple of years working for the governor of West Virginia pretty directly, but investment banking, financial services, the energy industry, and ended up as the head of HR for a natural gas pipeline company that was the biggest part of a Fortune 250 scale kind of company. And learned a lot in that job, and it was a huge, challenging job. And I guess one of the things I learned is what I really loved about corporate life and some of the things I didn't love so much about it. But the things that I really loved was strategy. How do you get from point A to point B, either at an organizational level or an individual level? And then leadership, you know, dating from since I was a Cub Scout. And the way I think about the work I do sometimes, it's the intersection of those two things. It's the intersection of strategy, whether it's for the organization or for you personally, and leadership. How do you lead in a way that gets you where you need to go? And so that's kind of the backstory. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Now, there are some people who really hold on to the corporate life, and they live there for the rest of their career, and they love it. I mean, they relish it. They do extremely well. And there are some people who pivot out to be consultants or speakers or influencers, but still connected or aligned to the corporate experience. What was it for you that signaled to you, okay, I need to pivot a little bit and be a bit more independent in my career?
Yeah. That's a great question. So there are a couple of things. One is I have a pretty low boredom threshold. I was part of a management team that had been brought in to bring the company out of bankruptcy. And we had a very ambitious business plan that touched on customer metrics and investor metrics and employee engagement metrics. And we accomplished all of that in about 3 years. And I started to think, you know, are we just going to kind of repeat the cycle again or what? And I also kind of felt like we were not well positioned competitively. Our parent company was not well positioned in the marketplace competitively. And we're either going to buy a company or we're going to get bought. And, you know, when you get bought, when you're acquired as a company, usually everything that you've built, if you're the acquiree, a lot of the stuff you've built gets torn down, right? Yeah, this is the nature of an acquisition. And I didn't want to stick around for that, you know, and it turned out we did get bought. And so I spent that summer doing integration work with the acquiring company. And I knew for sure after spending the summer doing that, I wasn't going to stick around because it was all going to be kind of ripped up by the roots. And it just really spent a year just kind of reflecting on what is it that I really love about what I do and and it's like I said, strategy and leadership. And so, you know, the end of the year 2000 went out on my own as an executive coach. And for the first 3 or 4 years of my work, that's really all I did was one-on-one executive coaching in the DC area where you are primarily. And, then I wrote my first book, The Next Level, which is coming out in the third edition in October of this year, 2018. And that was when things, you know, kind of began to grow and change a lot in the coaching and consulting business.
Okay. So one of the things that you like to do is write. And I want to talk about The Next Level in a bit. But let's go back to the other book that you wrote that was named one of the 10 best business books in 2014, this idea of being overworked and underwhelmed. Overworked and overwhelmed. Thanks for correcting me on that.
No worries.
Now there's this idea that some people say it's a generational thing. Some people say that it's a younger person's thing, or we throw around that language of it's a millennial thing that we can't handle the work ethic of our past generation and it's too much going on. But kind of help us understand what you mean by overworked and overwhelmed.
Yeah. So I wrote that book, and that was, like you said, the second of two books that I've written. And I wrote that book because as I'm out there coaching individual executives or leading programs for groups of high potential executives or doing keynotes or workshops or whatever for big groups of corporate people. Mm-hmm. I wrote that book in 2014, and then the run up to that book, the 4 or 5 year run up to that book, and then since then, everybody I work with at some level is overworked and overwhelmed. I mean, And it's not just millennials. It's I think there's two things that have happened, and I think in the last 10 years, the first factor I think that drives this sense of overworked and overwhelmed is the financial crisis of 2008. I think was a huge pivot point for the world, really. But I think one of the things that resulted from that is companies very quickly had to figure out how to do more with less in the financial crisis. And so now, you know, the economy in the United States, at least, has recovered, you know, 3.9% unemployment and 4.2% growth on GDP and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And yet pretty much every company I work in still has a do more with less approach to doing the work. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
One way I know that is I'll ask a room of 100 executives or managers to raise their hand on different scenarios. And one of the scenarios I ask is, you're in the same job today you were in a year ago, but the scope is bigger today than it was a year ago. 80% of the people raise their hand on that question. And that's just an indicator of do more with less. And then the other big factor that's driving overworked and overwhelmed is the smartphone. You know, Steve Jobs introduced the first iPhone in summer of 2007. That iPhone or your Android has more computing power than the supercomputer NASA used to land men on the moon. Just that one phone does.
It's crazy. And
yeah, it is. And it enables you to do work all the time. And there's an interesting study from the Center for Creative Leadership of smartphone-enabled executives, managers, and professionals. And the average smartphone-enabled executive manager professional is connected to their work for 70 hours a week. Okay, so there are 168 hours in any given week, 70 of it I'm spending on work, 8 hours a day times 7 days a week, 56 hours a week. I've got to do some basics like sleep and,
right. and
bathe, you know, and then that leaves me 40 hours a week left to do everything else, that I need or want to do in my life. And so why do people feel overworked and overwhelmed? I mean, it's kind of obvious, you know. And what that does is it leaves them in a chronic state of fight or flight. You know, all of us have a sympathetic nervous system that's kind of like our radar. You know, from an evolutionary standpoint, it protects us from threat. You know, that saber-toothed tiger that was going to eat our cavemen or cavewomen ancestors, their sympathetic nervous system, their fight or flight response kept them alive, hopefully, right? So most of us, probably most people listening, aren't under physical threat very often anymore in 2018. But all that stuff that you know you've got to get to, all that stuff that's in the back of your head or the calendar just got 10 meetings on it today and you're not prepared for half of them.
Yeah.
All the emails coming in and the text messages, everything else leaves you in a low grade chronic state of fight or flight where your sympathetic nervous system's on overdrive. And the long-term impact of that is you don't live as long as you should. You know, your health and well-being deteriorates. But the short-term impact of that is you are not nearly as productive as you should be, not nearly as clear in your thinking as you could be or should be. Your relationships suffer because you're irritable from all the stress hormones that are jacked up. And there's just a lot of bad effect, right? And so everybody's heard of fight or flight. Very few people, like 2% of the people I talk to, I've heard of rest and digest, and that's the nickname for your body's parasympathetic nervous system. We each have both sympathetic and parasympathetic, and they're designed to work together like the gas pedal and the brakes in a car. Synchronicity, homeostasis, you need that. And I'm trying to help people, one, understand that, and two, help them identify simple, practical, easy to do, likely to make a difference routines that they can incorporate into their life that'll make it more likely that they hit the sweet spot between gas pedal and the brakes, and also make it more likely that they both lead at their best and live at their best. And so that's one of the big things I focus on in my work.
Well, let's talk about that leading at your best and working at your best, because, let me ask it this way. when we talk about best, is that like a broad stroke categorization, or how do I identify what leading at my best looks like for me?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I work with people on that question, I usually ask them to look at it through two different lenses. Okay. So there's the first lens is the more immediate lens. It's, you know, at your best in your typical busy day, you know, so most corporate executives that I'm working with, I say, so how many meetings on your calendar in a typical day? Minimum answer is 5, maximum is 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somewhere between 5 and 10 meetings a day, right? That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of different topics. It's a lot of different dynamics and people and goals and all that in those meetings. And so the question I'm asking is, what does it mean to show up at your best in each of those instances, right? And there's two questions I'm asking people to ask themselves in each individual meeting. What am I trying to do? What's the outcome I'm trying to create in terms of what do I need people to know or think or do or feel or believe or agree to or commit to or whatever, right? So what's the outcome? And then the second big question is, great, given the outcome, how do I need to show up with those people? And one of the ways I ask people to think about that is in terms of energy. You can think of like a 2x2 grid where the vertical axis is low to high energy and the horizontal axis is negative to positive energy. It gives you 4 broad combinations of choices of energy. You can have high positive energy, low positive energy, high negative energy, low negative energy. There are different characteristics that are unique to you, Pierre, or me, Scott, in each of those 4 categories. My version of high positive energy probably looks a little different than yours because I'm me and not you.
Yeah.
Or low positive. But what I'm encouraging them to do is to visualize those two things. What am I trying to do and how do I need to show up? And that energy framework people find usually pretty helpful in terms of getting a handle on what does it mean to show up in a way that's going to help me reach the goal. So that's the short-term version. The longer-term version is, what are the characteristics of you that are kind of like threads that pull through your life, right? Not just your life at work, but your life at home and your life out in the world and the community. And one way to get a handle on that is to think about sort of peak experience moments or situations that you've been in over the last 6 to 12 months. It could be with your family and your friends. They could be with your team at work or in front of a customer. They could be like a nonprofit that you're working in out in the world or something at your church or whatever. And but they all have in common is, wow, that was just like time went by so fast. I was like totally in the zone. Everything was like really cooking great. So what are the words that describe you in those situations? And those are like, you'll probably find some common denominators that represent you in those moments. I would argue that is kind of the essence of you at your best, is how you show up in those peak moment experiences in your life.
You know, this is good stuff, Scott, not just for the seasoned executive, but I'm thinking back on individuals, and much of our audience is this, individuals who are at the beginning of their career. We're not taught, or it's not touted a lot, this idea of resting and reflecting.
Yeah.
So why do you think we so easily race past it at the beginning of our career? And then you hit that bubble or bump in the middle of your career and say, oh, maybe I need to take some time and do it.
That's a great question. And so, you know, it's one that I hadn't thought about in a while, but I'm just thinking, you know, so the listeners don't know, but while we're talking, we each can see each other. And so I'm looking at you and I'm going to guess you're what, about 35 to 40, somewhere in that range?
37.
Yeah, pretty good guess.
Yeah.
And so if you're looking at me, you're going to say, dude, you look like you're 75 years old.
No.
I'm 57, right? And so I'm 20 years older than you. And I think part of it is this life experience, honestly. You know, and I don't know what you do to leapfrog that. I think about where I was in my 20s and 30s, and I was and still am, you know, pretty ambitious, but the ambition manifests in different ways for me as a 57-year-old than it did as a 37 or a 27-year-old. Part of it is life experience. Part of it is just, I don't know. Ask the question again.
Yeah. Why do you think we skip over?
Why do we skip over
that resting and reflecting so much at the beginning of our career?
Because we're naturally wired to skip over it, right? That radar system that, you know, am I in danger? You know, that sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight mechanism, you know, causes us to drive. I think, you know, physiologically, you know, our body chemistry changes over the course of our life. You know, when you're younger, you have more growth and sex hormones, more active, you know, the estrogen and testosterone, you know, and it, you know, makes you go after it, right? I mean, those hormones make you go after it, right? You know, what I observe with my own, I was going to say kids, I mean, they're adults now. I've got two sons who are 29 and 25, and I do a lot of yoga, and I'm in Southern California, and I do a lot of yoga with people who are generally younger than me. And what I'm observing, I think, with my kids' generations, which aren't exactly your generation, do you qualify as a millennial?
I just make the cut, 1981.
Yeah, so you're almost Gen X, barely. So that means you're cool. You know, what I observe with my kids' generation and yours is I think they are more thoughtful about pacing themselves and managing themselves than my generation was at that age.
Okay.
You know, I think part of it too is because they've seen my generation mess up and they're paying attention. Maybe not all of them, but the ones that I'm around seem to be paying more attention to that kind of stuff than I did when I was their age. I mean, what do you see? You're working with people like that.
Yeah, I think there's just this picture, you know, of what success looks like, and this idea that success means 70 hours a week. It means the corner office. It means all of these amenities of life. And we just got back from vacation. Well, when this airs, it'll be a couple of months after vacation. And that vacation, we had some moments where my wife and my daughters just to kind of take a deep breath. And I can think, you know, 10 years ago, I might not have been so apt to say, well, let's slow down. Let's take pictures. Let's play in the sand. Because that comparison trap is, and I'm sure you deal with it a lot in the executive world, that comparison trap is a killer, or it can be a killer.
No doubt. Yeah. So I guess long story short is I don't have a good answer for you, just observations.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's good that we can kind of wrestle with this stuff. Now, speaking of wrestling with things, you're wrestling now with a third edition of The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Well, why are we at a third edition now?
Yeah, that's a great question too. You have a lot of great questions. We're at a third edition because I've learned a lot since the second edition. I mean, that's really it. The second edition came out in 2010. So it's been 8 years, and a lot of miles, a lot of air miles of talking with people and coaching people and teaching people and helping them, you know, being their learning partner, really. I don't think of myself as a teacher as much as a facilitator of learning, maybe. Learning about yourself and what it means to lead and effectively and all that. There's just a lot I wanted to share in a third edition. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have done it, because I feel like it kind of pulls together in one book everything that I've learned, you know, in 18 years now of doing this kind of work. And so that's the biggest reason, just new insights and lessons that I wanted to share with my readers.
And we'll put that in the show notes. The release is October 2018. I went on Amazon, and the date on Amazon was October 30.
True.
So we want to make sure that the listeners get a copy of that. Here's what I'm going to do. If you are listening to this podcast and you send me an email, pierre@prcquinn.com, I'll make sure you get a copy of The Next Level. So the first person to listen to this podcast and send me an email to say, put book in the subject line and put the next level and your address in the body of the email. I'll make sure you get a copy of
That's awesome. Scott's Thank book, you.
The next
I know level. We'll sell at least one copy that way. Thank you.
Even if I have to buy it myself and give it to myself.
That's good.
So and before our time gets away from us, you've been doing this for a while, Scott. What keeps you going? I'm sure the influence is good. I'm sure the pay is pretty decent. Mm-hmm. But beside those two things, what keeps you going in this leadership development, personal development space?
This is going to sound overly dramatic, changing lives.
Hmm.
I mean, that's I am so grateful that I get to do what I get to do. I mean, because I have people tell me all the time, honestly, your book changed my life, or what, you know, this one idea made all the difference, or, and that happens a lot. And that's like, man, how cool is that? I mean, that's just like, I don't need any more motivation to keep going. That's it.
Scott, give us the shameless plugs. Where can we find you on social?
Yeah,
what's your website, YouTube, all of that stuff? Give it to us.
So if you want to learn more about the Next Level book, go to thenextlevel.info. Okay, so that's the website for the new third edition of the book. If you want to learn more about my work in general and all that, go to eblingroup.com and you'll see the spelling of Eblin in the show notes, eblingroup.com. And then the book is available. The Next Level third edition is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and all the different places online that books are sold.
And we'll be sure to put all of that in the show notes. And remember my offer, the first person that sends me an email, pierre@pierrecquinn.com, referencing Scott's book and your mailing address, I'll make sure you get a copy of his book. And hopefully you'll have the same testimony as someone else that Scott met, that this book will have a dramatic influence and change your life. He is Scott Eblin, global speaker, best-selling author, leadership expert. He's been my guest today on the Leading While Green podcast. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Pierre, my pleasure. Thank you, man.
Great conversation today with Scott Eblin about his journey. And I want you to take advantage of the offer that I made at the end of our interview. I want to send you a copy of The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Now, to get the copy of the book, you got to be the first person to send an email to me, Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, Pierre@PierreCQuinn.com. Put podcast as a subject line and just put, I want Scott's book and your address. Now, first person that does that, I will send you a copy of Scott's book. I also want to remind you about the things that I got going on at my website, PierreCQuinn.com. We got my free leadership course, 12 Ways to Grow as a Leader, a 4-part video series. It's really, really good. Got some really great feedback on the course, and it's free. You can sign up right now at PierreCQuinn.com. I also got another special offer. I want to give away $50. $50, and who can't use $50, right? I'm working on my fall live leadership seminar, and it's going to be really, really good, but I need some feedback on it. And if you jump over to my website near the top, you'll see, take my survey for a chance to win $50. It's about 3 minutes tops. You can take it really quickly for a chance to enter to win $50. And you'll help me put some finishing touches on the leadership workshop that I'm planning in the DMV area for November. So you want to make sure that you're on my leaders list so you'll get all that information. And I got another leadership course, my signature leadership course, the Leading While Green Leadership Intensive. That information is also on my website. Got some great feedback on all the things that I'm doing, and I really, really appreciate your support and helping me on this journey. Well, that's all I got for this episode of the Leading While Green podcast. You know it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. And I want to thank you for partnering with me to help us take this message of effective leadership around the world. And until next time, take care and God bless.